We have 500 limited edition Here I Stand t-shirts available for new members of the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Click the picture of these limited edition long sleeve shirts. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
This is the familiar situation we often find ourselves in as well. It's hunger, isn't it? It's a daily occurrence. It's thirst. It's a daily occurrence. You wake up in the morning, you're thirsty, you're hungry, you eat. You kind of take it for granted that if you walk to the refrigerator, there's going to be food in there, or there's going to be food in the pantry, or if it's not there, you can go to the grocery store. You take for granted there'll be money in the bank to go ahead and pay for all those things. That's how life proceeds for most people. What if you're the children of Israel and you're in the wilderness and there's no place to buy food? There's no place to go to get any food, and there's no food around. Well, that would cause some worry. And in the case of the children of Israel, it causes some grumbling and complaining against both Moses and against God. We're going to be talking about this story from the Exodus, God providing manna, water, and quail for his Old Testament people in Exodus 16 and 17. To kick off this hour of Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, November the 2nd, we're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. For the next hour, I'd be happy to take your questions and your comments. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MY-IE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. A little bit later, we're going to be talking with Dr. Gottfried Martens, a pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Berlin, Germany, about Germany's largest Protestant regional church has decided and issued a paper to the effect that all those Muslim immigrants that are coming into Germany that you've been reading about in the news, they don't need to be converted to Christianity. The church shouldn't even try. It would be wrong for them to do so. We'll see what Dr. Gottfried Martens has to say about that. Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson, God Providing Manna, Water, and Quail, in Exodus chapter 16 and 17. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
When faced with this kind of hunger and this lack of food and water, what should the children of Israel done rather than grumble against Moses and God?
When I get a question like that, I think of the old Adam and the new man. The old Adam always has one response, which is always sinful. The new man has a response, which is sinless. So if we're going to say that grumbling is a sin, which it is, because they're not just grumbling against Moses, they're grumbling against God, what would the new man do? The new man instead would maybe take a look at Matthew 7, for it says, "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" So, to grumble against God is to begin with an argument, saying, "God, I need this, you're not giving it, therefore I don't think you're correct." In contrast to saying, "Lord, if it be your will, I need these items." So the new man should always come to the forefront rather than the old man, which of course is impossible all the time, simply because we're poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment.
So all they had to do was ask.
That's right. That's what it says. If I have a need for something, we ask, and it doesn't mean you're going to receive what you ask for, but it means you will be receiving that which is the best for you from God's point of view. And therefore, no matter what circumstance you're on, if it's the sickness of a loved one, or if it's a loss of a possible home, or you're going to get fired, or in the children's case, you're not going to be in the right classroom, or you might not be able to go to the next grade, you ask God for help, and whatever He decides, He promises is for your good, and that's how we remain content, knowing that God never breaks His promises.
So where do we find the children of Israel at this particular point in the story?
Well, it's good to have a map here because it shows they've crossed the Red Sea and they've come to the wilderness. It's called of Sin, although that's neither here nor there why it's called that. And it says the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." So, of course, they're blaming Moses. A lot of times the representatives of God get blamed. And I'm sure this is happening a lot today in this country with the various immorality going on, and pastors are trying to stand up and say, no, this is the word of the Lord, and people are grumbling against their pastors today. Well, this is what happened also in the wilderness.
So they begin to grumble. They say it's not just a kind of run-of-the-mill grumbling. They're actually wishing themselves dead. Would, they say, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt when we sat by meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out to kill this whole assembly with hunger. This goes far beyond just mere complaining.
Yes. In fact, at the bottom of all grumbling against God is a wish that we had a different God, which means we also wish we had a different life, because the life that we want, that we crave for, is not coming across as we see God. In fact, I've often asked people about what a blessing is, and I've asked them to write down blessings on a piece of paper, and then I tell them, put your hand up if you're not thinking of something positive. Nobody ever puts their hand up. We just automatically assume a blessing is something positive. But the fact that we are hungry can be a blessing, or that we are thirsty, not only in the physical realm, where we therefore look to God for help with physical means, but specifically in the spiritual realm. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So there's a lot in this text. Once you realize that they're grumbling against God, it really changes the whole picture here, that these are people who are not satisfied with the lot that God has given them.
All right. This is not going to be the last time they do this, by the way. But what is the Lord's response to this accusation against God? They're convinced God wants to kill them, that He should have killed them before. What is the Lord's response?
This is really quite amazing, because they're fortunate the true God isn't Allah, because they already all would have been probably killed somehow. Instead, the Lord says to Moses, and this is verse 4 of chapter 16, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out," and He tells them what they need to do to gather the bread. And in other words, here they're grumbling against God, but in a sense, that is also a request to God, and therefore He answers with giving them good gifts, just as a parent in Matthew 7, verse 11, gives good gifts to their children. Then how can we not understand that God will give us good gifts? So God, it's really showing what kind of God we have. The best passage, and I would really encourage the Sunday school teachers to look at this, is Psalm 78, beginning with verse 18 through 32, because it says they tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, and then it shows that God opened up the skies above, opened up the doors of heaven. He rained down on them manna to eat and gave them, this is interesting, the grain of heaven. Man ate of the bread of the angels. Isn't that interesting? He sent them food in abundance. And that, once more, is Psalm 78, verses 18 to 32. In fact, the whole episode here is summarized well with that psalm.
The big thing about both the man and the quail here is that this is bread they don't have to work for and meat they don't have to work for. I mean, the birds just fly into the camp, and you know, you can send the little kids out to pick it up in the evening. The bread just appears in the outside the camp there. They don't have to work at all for it. Is that important to notice?
One of the exercises I might have the children to do is to have them think of the positive things that are happening in their life and just write them down. And then ask them, okay, who is the cause? Who is the individual who really gave you those things? Now, some of the kids may say, well, my parents. For example, they might like McDonald's hamburgers. If they have an answer like that, I would go up and I would put draw a hamburger on the blackboard and then show all the things that had to happen for that hamburger to appear. For example, there had to be grain in the field. There had to be water in the fields to grow the grain so the cows could eat them. And there had to be cows and they had to come to the market. Therefore, there had to be tires on trucks. You can fill a whole blackboard. And then you say, did your mom and dad do all that? Well, of course not. Well, who did? And they'll begin to understand when we say, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these foods to us be blessed, that it is God who is the person behind everything that we receive, that we think in a positive sense. And therefore, it once more helps the children with this text to rivet their attention that God is the source of all that they have that they appreciate.
Now, there's something else miraculous about this bread in particular, and that is it's God sends it to them. If they gather a little or a lot, no matter how much they gather, no one has any lack. It says those who gathered little still had no lack. But he commands them not to leave it over till the next day, not to hoard it or store it away. Why is that?
Once more, God is checking out their faith. He says, from Sunday to Friday, you need to get bread, but on Friday, you get a double amount because he doesn't want them working on the Sabbath. So here we have all these people that decide to get a lot Sunday to Thursday, and then in the morning, anything left over actually stank. It went bad. So on Friday, they only gathered enough for them to have on Friday. And then when Saturday came, there was no manna on the ground. And they were, what's happening here? It is a great example of how we just don't want to follow the will of God in things that make sense, because we want to do it our way. So we gather more than we need, in their case. And then when the day comes when they should gather more, they don't do it. It once more shows the lack of trust. I mean, I can't believe these people until I think of me, because we're all the same. I mean, these are the people that went through the Red Sea. These are the people that saw 10 plagues from God. How could they not trust him? Well, guess what? We are the people today who know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, raised from the dead for his resurrection. And guess what? We don't trust God either. We continue to sin day in and day out. And so, as Paul writes, this is all written down as an example to us to show how the devil can get into our hearts and have us doing things that are really contrary to the will of God, that shows we don't trust in God.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, the 2nd of November, God providing manna, water, and quail. We've got the manna and the quail covered here. When we come back, we'll talk about God providing water in Exodus chapter 17. After our conversation with Pastor Tom Baker, we'll take up the subject of a German church that is saying the Muslim immigrants should not be converted to Christianity. There's no need to do that. In fact, it would probably be a bad idea to do that. Dr. Gottfried Martens, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Berlin, Germany, will join us for his reaction.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
At Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, we are mostly looked down upon by cool people. They're always telling us that we take ourselves too seriously. That, apparently, is the uncoolest thing on the planet. We are theological nerds. We get more incensed by bad exegesis than a group of comic book fans who find out the hero was just dreaming. Some people want us to calm down, but we aren't going to. Redeemer, Fort Wayne, haven for theological nerds.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org. You're invited to come out and join us as we broadcast live from 3 to 5 Thursday afternoon, November the 5th, from Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale. We're going to be talking with Pastor Paul McCain, and we hope to be joined by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel, co-authors of the book Ladylike. It's a live remote broadcast of Issues Etc. this Thursday afternoon from Concordia Publishing House at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. It's part of the Concordia Publishing House warehouse sale, both online and in store, that runs November the 4th through the 10th. You can find out more at cph.org or visit Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Exodus. Let's turn to the subject of water. They've got their food. We're told at the end of that 16th chapter that for 40 years, as they wandered there, they ate manna every day that it was there for them to gather 6 days a week, and that they ate it all the way up until the time that they entered the land of Canaan. That's kind of projecting forward. Now tell us the story about the water.
In the wilderness of sin, it appeared that there was water, but then when the people kept moving on, they camped at Rephidim, and there was no water there for the people to drink. Now, here we go again. After having received bread and meat through the birds, they quarrel with Moses, almost say the exact thing they said about those. Give us water to drink. Moses says, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? And that's really what that Psalm 78 passage is about, where the same word is used. They tested God in their heart because they were grumbling. And they grumbled against Moses once more. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock? And Moses finally says to the Lord, what shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me. Now, see the difference in the attitude between the people and Moses. Moses knew that the only source of comfort he would find, the only source of hope, would be the Lord. So he prayed to him and asked what he should do. And God told him, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and I will stand before you on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And sure enough, that's what Moses did. And when he did that, the people, therefore, were able to drink of the water that they needed.
Now, it's interesting, at the very end of that little section there, it says, they had tested the Lord by asking this question, is the Lord among us or not? That's not included in their complaints, really, but that seems to be how Moses reads their complaint.
Yes, it's how God reads the complaint. I mean, what Sunday school child doesn't wish sometimes their parents would do something different? Like, I always liked watching those great movies about monsters from China and Japan. And no, I had to go to bed at 9 o'clock. And boy, I sure wish I had a television in my bedroom, which I did not, of course. But you're arguing. So that'd be another exercise. What things have you not been happy that your parents have done with you? And perhaps, therefore, you'll find the children coming to realize that when they're grumbling against their parents, they're actually grumbling against God himself. A lot of kids don't realize that, but that is the meaning of the fourth commandment. Father, obey your father and mother. And so they did not want to do that. And by the way, the name of the place was called Massah, and that simply means temptation, and also Meribah, which means contention. And so the name of the place where the people had done that was referred to by Moses as when the people were trying to tempt God, and also, of course, when they were grumbling and contending with God.
What is this idea of testing God or tempting God that shows up in both of these accounts, in the manna and quail and in the water?
It's an idea that sometimes we might do with people that we like. We ask them to do something to test whether or not they'll be honest with what we're doing with them. For example, we may give them some money and say, you know, go give it to the teacher, and then if they do or if they don't, then we understand that they are people who are not to be trusted. This occurred many a time. In fact, the Good Samaritan actually comes out of the idea that a lawyer came to test Jesus. He was probably sent by the Pharisees to get Jesus to say something, and therefore in his conversation, he, of course, got the weak end of it. But this testing is where we put someone to a trial to see what kind of character they have, etc. And the people of Israel did not like the character of God that they were aware of. And so they therefore blamed it on Moses and Aaron, but in reality they were testing the Lord.
You said that at the root of that unbelief is not wanting no God, but wanting a different God. What's that God that we sinfully want like?
Yeah, I've often said, what is at the center of sin? And then I say, spell it, and it's I. And what is at the center of pride? I. In the Luke passage with the Pharisee, and a lot of the translations don't get this right, when the Pharisee is praying to God, thanking him for not being like that tax collector, some of the translations say that he stood by himself and prayed. No. In reality, the proper translation, and the New King James and the NIV have it pretty good, is that he was praying to himself when he says, God, I thank you. It's also a good example where praying to God, thanking him for something, can be a sin if God is not the one who gave it to you, or you think you got it because I'm so good. And so the center, to answer your question, the God is always myself. And if you take a look at every God of every religion outside of Christianity, you'll find that the God is created in the image of the people who say he exists.
So this God, the true God, not only suffers himself to be tested here, but he also proves himself. He feeds them and he gives them water. He does not overlook their grumbling in this case, but because, as I said before, it's not going to be the last time they grumble. But he is remarkably patient and willing still to provide, in spite of the fact that they're ungrateful.
I look at this much like the same way I look at the temptations of Jesus by the devil in the wilderness. Jesus had a mission. The devil gave him three temptations, any one of which would have destroyed that mission. He refused to do it. God has a mission with these Israelites. He made a promise to Abraham, to Jacob, to Joseph, that they would return to the promised land. But to keep that promise meant that God would have a lot of obstacles, including the unbelief of the people. Remember, they made the golden calf that we're going to hear about. They end up grumbling against him here. So why is God so merciful in the sense of not giving them what they deserve and gracious in giving them what they don't deserve is because he made a promise. And we need to get across to the Sunday school children that you also have a promise from none other than Jesus himself. That in your baptism, you have been not only forgiven your sins, but heaven is your home. And though you're going to have a difficult time in going through life, God will never forget his promise to you. And insofar as you remain in faith, God will supply not only all that you need, but he will make sure that promise is kept.
So with about 30 seconds here, the law and the gospel, the basic bottom line for the Sunday school children.
Yes. The law is pretty simple. I always want more. The gospel is God provides all that I need in Christ. And it's of some interest to know that later on in the New Testament, that the rock from which they receive water, Paul refers to as Jesus. Not the actual rock, but he was the spiritual rock that followed them through the wilderness. That's Jesus for us. In word and sacrament, we continue to receive both the bread of his body and the blood through the wine for our salvation.
Does God provide for us just, you mentioned before the hamburger and what all it takes, and we tend to think of that as very mundane things. That's how our food comes to us.
Yes.
But is God's provision for us as miraculous as it was for the Old Testament people?
It is, because God is always going against the devil, who wants that food to be rancid. God keeps it from becoming rancid. He keeps it pure. And therefore, everything that happens in our life, the ultimate cause of all that I receive is the true God of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, both in physical things and in the spiritual.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He'll be with us for just a few minutes on the other side of the break. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, God providing manna, water, and quail. When we come back, he had mentioned earlier in our conversation that this was the bread of angels. He was quoting from a psalm. Now, that puts me in mind of something Pastor Baker just mentioned, and that is the Lord's Supper. We'll talk about that connection as we teach a Sunday school lesson on God providing manna, water, and quail in Exodus chapters 16 and 17 with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things: the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, a few more minutes with him talking about God providing manna, water, and quail for his Old Testament people in Exodus chapters 16 and 17. You made an allusion before the break to the Lord's Supper, and actually I'm tying it back to something you said earlier when you were commenting on the manna. The psalm that you read that talked about the bread of angels, make a connection here with, we actually do have the bread of heaven with us every Sunday. Talk about that.
The passage I would use is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because we believe that the means of grace are word and sacrament, and we therefore would include baptism and the Lord's Supper. Listen how the Apostle Paul tied in the event we're talking about in the Sunday school lesson today with that. 1 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 1. "I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud," the cloud, of course, was Jesus, "and all passed through the sea," that was Jesus opened up the sea. Now listen to the next part. "And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink." Well, guess what? If that isn't baptism in the Lord's Supper, I don't know what is. Because we're baptized into Christ through the waters of baptism. We eat the same spiritual food, as Jesus says in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. And he does that using bread. And then when using wine, he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And the new covenant means that the promises are those of God, which he will never break. So right there in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul is describing what happened when they went into the wilderness and through the Red Sea, and he calls it a baptism, eating spiritual food and eating spiritual drink, which we do. In other words, the bread of the Lord's Supper, we receive the true body of Jesus Christ, and in the wine of the Lord's Supper, we receive his true blood.
And that is the anticipation and the participation in a feast that is going to be fulfilled in the resurrection. Talk about that.
Yes. In fact, Jesus says that he will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until, and we presume he's referring to after Judgment Day in heaven, where we too. And by the way, you know, there are some people who wonder, are we going to eat in heaven? I find it interesting that the manna is referred to as angelic food. So we do know that angels eat because two of them came with Jesus to meet with Abraham, and they were able to eat the meal that Abraham and his wife put forth for them. But it's kind of a neat little side event. But the primary purpose of the entire Old Testament is to point forth to the Christ who will come. It starts in our lessons with the Passover, the slain lamb. As John the Baptizer says, behold the Lamb of God that has come to take away the sin of the world. So in a very microcosmic way, the events in Exodus point forward to the coming of the Messiah, who will not only baptize us with water, but also give us his very body and his very blood through that Holy Communion.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
When we come back, there have been Muslims emigrating to Germany. Germany has famously taken a rather open-door policy to Muslim immigration. Now, what this has meant for many churches in Germany is a lot of not only immigrants, not only new people, but converts as well. Well, recently, a church group in Germany has decided that that's not necessary, that the conversion of these Muslims who are coming into Germany is not only not necessary, it might actually be detrimental to the public peace. When we come back, Dr. Gottfried Martens is going to join us, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Berlin, Germany, to respond to that.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. November 4th through 10th, and join us for a live broadcast from CPH on Thursday afternoon, November the 5th. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale online and in store, cph.org and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale, November 4th through 10th.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.